This morning's scripture, first scripture reading, is Mark 1, verse 29 through 39, which would be found on page 867 and 868 in your pew Bible, if you'd like to follow along. Listen to the reading of God's holy word. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." And Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. The second reading is Isaiah 40, chapter 40, verses 21 through 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are gathered like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground, than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens, who created all these. He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from God, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the things that impressed me when I was a young soldier stationed in Germany was the field maneuvers that we would go out on sometimes for weeks at a time. At night was one of the most impressive times to be in the German countryside. Oftentimes we had to operate in what was called blackout conditions, which meant that we had to have complete light discipline, no vehicle lights or anything like that. We could use flashlights, but they had to have a red covering over them so that the light didn't emit very far. And so everything around us was pitch black. But then you would look up at the night sky, and the whole sky would be lit up with millions and millions of stars. I had, till that time, never seen anything like it. I'd always lived in a city where there was lights, and the lights kind of obscured the stars. But there in the German countryside at night were millions and millions of stars. For me, it was an awesome reminder of the grandeur and majesty of God, grandeur and majesty that helped put things in the right perspective. The same God who created all of those stars, the same God who hung them in the sky, and the same God who knows all of their names, with the same God who also knew my name, the same God who created me, the same God who is infinitely more powerful than anything that any of us can experience. Of course, if you've been in the church for as long as I have, you know that intellectually. We were taught it in Sunday school. We've had it reinforced throughout our Christian development. We know that the God that we serve is the Creator God, who is the maker of heaven and earth. We know that there is nothing that can compare with God, nothing and no one that could even begin to compare with the majesty and the power of God. We know that God has all of our lives in God's hands. And yet, for all intents and purposes, we tend to live our lives as if we did not know that. We tend to live as if God, the God that we serve and worship, is too small. We tend to live as if the difficulties and challenges of life are bigger and more powerful even than God. The problem, of course, is one of perspective. It's how we view the world and ourselves in the world. It is the broadness of our vision. What are we able to see, and what are we able to know about God? The fact is that in the face of life's difficulties and challenges, it's easy for us to forget about God. We need to be reminded of who God is, that the God that we worship and serve is the God who is bigger and more powerful than anything that we can face. The words of the prophet Isaiah that Howard read this morning were words that were written 2,500 years ago. They were written at a time when God's people were exiled deep into Babylon because of their sins. They were a people who were beaten down, worn out, totally crushed by the circumstances of life. But as bad as that was, and it was very bad, it wasn't the worst thing. The worst thing is that the people had forgotten God. I don't mean that they had forgot about God to the extent that they had blotted God out of their consciousness, that they had blotted God out of their hearts and their minds, but they had forgotten God's care for them. They had forgotten God's power and God's grandeur. They had forgotten that God was bigger than anything that they experienced. And so some of them even began to believe that the Babylonians and the Babylonian gods were more powerful than the God that they had heard and the God that they had known, the God that they had grown up believing. The prophet Isaiah knows that if he can just get the people to look in the right direction, if he can just get them to look in the right place, If he could just get them to look away from their fears and their anxieties, from their tribulations and their trials, from their false gods and their false hopes, if he could just get them to look towards heaven, then perhaps slowly and surely they'll begin to remember what they once heard and what they once knew about the all-powerful God that they once believed in. And so the prophet tells them in the depths of their despair and adversity to lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes and see. Look around you. See the billions and billions of stars, the billions and billions of galaxies. Who created these? The Babylonians didn't create them. Their god Merodach didn't create them. Their astrologers and magicians didn't create them. It is God who created the heavens. It is God who created the stars. It is God who hung them in the sky. It is God who cataloged them and who knows all of their names. And the most important thing is that it is this same God who also knows you and me. It is God who knows our name. It is the same God who loves us and cares about each and every one of us. A God whose love and concern for us is far more powerful than anything we can even begin to encounter. Think about that for a moment. The God who created the universe, the God who created the stars, the God who created the sun, the God who created the moon, knows your name. He knows who you are. He knows what you've gone through. He knows what you are experiencing. He is the God who cares about you and loves you. Have you ever been somewhere and felt insignificant only to find out that somebody powerful, somebody important knew your name? Somebody cared about you and knew you? God knows your name. God is not the God who feigns to know our pain, like some of our politicians tell us they feel our pain. God really feels our pain. God really knows who you are. God cares about you and loves you. God, the God of this universe, who created this universe, knows your name. But we should know that the picture of God that Isaiah wants us to see and wants us to remember is not a God that can be controlled and manipulated or domesticated. Even though God knows our name, even though God cares about us, even though God loves us, God is far above us. God cannot be controlled. God is not an American God. God is not a Chinese God. God is not a liberal God. God is not a conservative God. God is not a black God or a white God. God is far above you and me. God does not belong to us. We belong to God. God does not exist to do our bidding. We exist to do the bidding of God. God does not exist to give us our wants. We exist because God wants something from us. He wants us to have faith in him, to trust him, and to wait on him. Not just during good times when everything is all right, when everything is on the right track, but also during the difficult and the challenging times when we've been beaten down, when we are worn out, when the circumstances of life have us down. That's when God wants us to know that God is God and that God knows our name and cares about us and loves us. In fact, that's what this text is about. It's not just about God. It's not just about God's grandeur. It's not just about God's power. It's not just about God's grasp, but it's also about you and me. It is about us. It's about our brokenness. It's about our weakness. It's about our weariness and our faint-heartedness. Isaiah wants us to lift up our eyes, and he wants us to be able to see God. He wants us to be able to see this powerful, mighty God, because Isaiah wants us to see something about ourselves. He wants us to see something that we can avail ourselves of. He wants us to be reminded that this powerful God also wants us to share in God's God-givenness. The God who is powerful and strong wants to give us strength in times when we are weak. The God who does not faint wants to help us not to faint when we are frightened and scared. The God who is without weary wants us too to be without weariness. He wants to empower us. He wants to strengthen us. He wants to share his attributes with us. He wants us to know that we are not alone, that we do not face this world by ourselves. He wants us to know that he is not a small God, that he is not a little God, that he is not an ineffectual God, but he is the God who is more powerful than anything that we can begin to experience. It is in the midst of our brokenness and our adversity that Isaiah tells us to lift up our eyes and to remember who God is. God is much bigger than anything that we can imagine. He is bigger than our idols and our false gods. He is bigger than our wants and desires. He is bigger than the categories that we try to pigeonhole God into. We want to pigeonhole God into our categories, but God is bigger than that. God is the God who goes with us. He is the God who is above our understanding. We can't even begin to understand God, but God wants us to know that he is with us in the midst of our own suffering, our own anxiety, our own heartbreak, our own loneliness. He is with us whenever we think that we cannot go on our own strength and our own power. Maybe you are here today and you have been beaten down. Maybe you are here today and you've been worn out. Maybe you are here today and you've been crushed by the circumstances of life. Or maybe you are here today and you believe that nothing can change. Nothing can change in your life. Nothing can change in your family. Nothing can change in this world. That the forces and powers of this world are just too powerful. Nothing can change. Or maybe you're here today because you're afraid. You're scared. You're afraid of the future. You're afraid of what lies ahead. You don't know what lies ahead, and you're afraid. If that is you this morning, Isaiah's word is for you to lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes and know that God is still God. Lift up your eyes and know that God is still in charge. Lift up your eyes and know that God still rules. Lift up your eyes and know that the God who has created the whole world still loves you. Lift up your eyes and know that God is still God in the midst of our world. We are reminded this morning that when we most need to remember, when we most need to remember who God is, that we are called to look up into the heavens and to discern the greatness of the God that we are called to believe in. To remember what we have heard, to remember what we have known, that God is still God. We are reminded by the prophet Isaiah that our adversities and our fears and our apprehensions should not separate us from God. But it is in our fears and our adversities that we are open to receive the gifts that God wants to give us. God wants us to soar. God wants us to soar like eagles. God doesn't want us to feel defeated. He doesn't want us to live defeated lives. He doesn't want us to live as if there is no hope. He doesn't want us to be a people without faith. He wants us to live as victorious people. He wants us to be a people of vision and hope. He doesn't want us to be people stymied by the world who believe that nothing can change. He wants us to remember that God is still God. And if we remember that, if we are reminded of that, if we don't forget that, then we can have the courage to go out into our world and to be the witnesses and the herald that God has called us to be. The God that we serve is a big God. He is an expansive God. God is not too small. God is not too little. God goes with us, and God is bigger than all that we face. There will be a time when all of us will face the specter of death. There'll be a time when all of us will face the unknown valley of the shadow of death. But the good news is that God is even bigger than death itself. Not even the power of death is stronger than God. Not even the power of death can overcome God's love. Not even the sting of death itself can separate us from God. God has already defeated the power of death, just as God has already defeated all that causes us to be humiliated and demeaned in this world. We have only to lift up our eyes and to believe. Believe in the God who is more powerful than anything that you and I could even begin to imagine, because that God has your life and my life and the whole world in his hands. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, we live so restricted lives, in part because we are often people of little faith. We fail to put our trust completely in you, in part because we're not quite sure that you can carry us through the adversities that we face in life. We are often fearful and afraid, but you have reminded us not to be afraid, but to put our faith and trust in you, that you are indeed the Creator God that has created the stars and the sun and the moon, and has created our very lives. We ask that you help us to live into the promise that you have for each and every one of us. The promise opened up by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the promise that lifts us up. Help us to be the people that you have called us to be, the beloved community that lives into your future, because we know that you have already defeated all that causes us to be demeaned, all that separates us from you. Help us to be the people that you have called us to be. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.